is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of March, 2026. Before we go any further, let's say congratulations once again to the senior boys basketball team, C.I. Gibson Rattlers, 42nd Hugh Campbell Basketball Classic champions, right? What a wonderful team. What a wonderful group of young, the coach who is leading them into the future. That was just a fun show yesterday. So, okay, you're on the clock with, y'all might as well call me Trelly, because I want to know, Bahamas, what you cooking today? The news is hot. It is, and there is breaking news. There's breaking news. So before we get started, I have 1,007 birthdays and belated happy birthdays to go. And I have to start off by saying happy belated birthday to DJ Anyway. DJ Anyway. Also, I don't know, my birthday greetings, they come so late in the Facebook. What you doing? And in that way, like most people, I like this social media app should be attuned to my feelings, should be attuned to my feelings. We also want to say a belated happy birthday to Orchid Burnside from Muddo Bakery. All right, there's lots in the news today. There's this article about viral video of teens. I wanted to talk about that for a second because, you know, as wild and uncontrolled as these young people appear, I imagine is as wild and uncontrolled as the spaces that they come from, right? Every time I see these young people, I think about how the adults around them behave, because surely that's where they pick up a lot of stuff. In today's Tribune, Article 7 students charged over viral high school brawl. Seven students have been charged after a violent brawl at Doris Johnson High School that was captured on video and widely circulated on social media, police said. Assistant Commissioner of Police Chaswell Hanna said the students faced charges related to disorderly behavior, causing harm, and fighting. The footage, which sparked public outrage, shows a chaotic scene on a campus as a group of boys exchange blows. At one point, a student lifts and throws a chair at another in an apparent attempt to strike him. Oh, yeah, I remember that video now. I want to be very careful with my commentary. These are young people. And we do not treat them the same way that we treat adults, understanding that they are not adults. They may look like adults. We may force them to be adults and act like adults, even when they're not supposed to, but they are not adults. There was one young man, though, who obviously stands out as requiring attention and focus. See, after the show yesterday, I refuse to believe that these young people are irredeemable, that they cannot change, right? That they cannot find peace and discipline and justice in their own lives. I refuse to believe that. And we got a shining example of a young man whose name Bastian Sidney, who turned his life around in one semester because people showed him how much they believed in him, caused him to believe in himself, right? I refuse to think that. But here's also why I take a different attitude with these young people, because I see what their parents be doing. See, like, y'all act as if you in the car with your children, you don't have on your seatbelt, You're talking and texting on your cell phone. You're not stopping at stop signs. You're not stopping at red lights. You're cussing people and trying to fight people because they wouldn't help you break the law. And you wondering why young people are behaving this way? See, and then like the behavior I described just now, we like assume that's jungleist behavior, right? But then let's talk about the people in the very fancy cars. Let's talk about the people with the very good jobs, wearing the very good clothes and the nice jewelry, right? In their car, ignoring the center line. I had to spend an inordinate amount of time on the road yesterday. And at this point in time, I'm going to tell you all that tomorrow when I start the show, you can be, because it is obvious at this point that the people responsible for traffic control, enforcing traffic controls, either do not care or do not have the capacity to do the job. All I saw over the weekend, over the last 3-4 days, is cars on their side. And now I'm wondering, did somebody scam you and tell you you had a helicopter option in your car? But if y'all are driving like this with your children in the car, and y'all talking the way you do with your children in the car, why did you think your children weren't going to become who you are? Like, here's a clear example. Do not be confused. This is not a class issue. In fact, I tend to find that the people of higher classes act worse on the road. But I'm going to give you all an example. Church Street is where St. Matthew sits, right? It's the road leading onto the new bridge. There's a pedestrian crossing, Church Street. Church Street is a walking zone. There are tourists and there are people who use the services of the church, the soup kitchen, and other services. They're constantly walking and moving through that space. And anytime the church is open, trust me, the parishioners of that church are going to ignore the traffic controls to the detriment of their own parishioners. Something as simple as following the rules associated with a pedestrian crossing that was put directly in front of your church to accommodate your churchgoers. And it's your same churchgoers that disregard it. Disregard the rules for parking. Throw their car anywhere with no regard for the people who are going to walk on that road. I'm not surprised when I see this violence coming from young people, because not only are they ensconced, entrenched in spaces where people behave like this, right? Then they're faced with the same people behaving that way, telling them ain't nothing wrong. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I am right. While the whole sensible world is telling the young people that behavior is wrong. It's kind of really, really simple. Kids learn from their environment and the behavior taking place within it. And what you're not teaching, they're learning it on their own. I saw that video. I saw the H.O. Nash video where some wildly out of control young man kicks a young man while he's down in the head. And it's like, y'all don't tell them, hey, PMH is where you will die. PMH is where the boy will die if they do not have the capacity to ensure that he doesn't. Like, are we not telling our young people that? No, you see, because you couldn't be telling them that. Because how do you tell your children that their hospital does not have the capacity to guarantee, right, recovery? While you speeding through a red light, or better yet, while you going 5 miles an hour through a red light with no regard for anything happening around you. It is amazing and it is frightening The brain that you put in your head to drive to work is the same brain you use in at work. It is unfathomable. Like technicians, people in BTC, BPL, Alive Vehicles, the people, I mean, every category of technician in this country, you could find one of them vehicles. I'm getting ready. I want to be careful, right? Because I want to talk about the things that I see, but I don't have the proof. And trust me, people who will run a red light and look at you and ask you what red light will lie to a court. They'll pay off the police. And you wonder why the children behave in this way. Anyway, let's get to the rest of the news, because that's news, you know. Young people are vulnerable to the most horrific and heinous physical and psychological violence because we refuse to create an environment where they could make sense of what's happening around them. We refuse to do our part. But let's get into the rest of the headlines. I guess what? Today, I wanted to talk about Mayor Gwanah. I wanted to talk about those articles in yesterday's paper, New Airport Terminal Commissioned on Mayor Gwanah. PM opens 2.1 million Mayor Gwanah Airport tied to 2,000 jobs seaport project, among others, is lit up. So we're going to go to the caller, and then we're going to go to We Are Not Alarmed by Numbers, because that may be the most honest thing this administration has ever said. PLP math. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. They're trickling back down to the youth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all came back from all those high murder rate years we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, it's all the kids from all the violence that happened. They're traumatized, you know, some of them grew up with vengeance, or the dad was killed, the brother was killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it takes a lot. It takes a lot to bring the youth back.
Yeah, it does. But it takes concerted and intentional effort.
Sure.
Thank you very, very much. Because that point you raised is so important, right? You identified the specific years where the murder rate was extremely high. And we know there was a lot of violence and associated with a lot of the killings. Who looked after the young people? Who ensured that the young people had what we call psychosocial services, psychological care, guidance, counselors, therapy, therapeutic care, who ensured that those young people had an opportunity to not become the thing that is consuming their communities? And then we're going to turn around and vilify them, right? And say, oh, no, it's the bad children. It's the bad children. And then we're going to turn around and try and say, no, it's the migrant children. It's the migrant children. As opposed to stopping, right? And saying, you know what? We actually have a clear example. Did we respond appropriately to the drug era? Did we ensure that along with the police services, right, that we had commensurate and equal psychological and psychiatric health services to respond to the need of the survivors, the victims, those who were impacted most? Like, we're talking about children who were orphaned or abandoned because their parents were affected by the drug era, children who lived in or suffered violence because their parents or their family members or the community they lived in, right, was ensconced in the drug era. See, because we weren't paying sufficient attention to that, it has escalated and evolved. Thank you very much, caller, for that text. It's a very good point that you make, especially since if we turn to page 5 in today's Guardian, we have the announcement, Government Establishes Protection Against Violence Commission. So let's just stick a pin here, right? Every time I see protection against violence, the words Gender-Based Violence Act and Commission pop into my head, because that's what advocates were expecting, right? That's what advocates were expecting. Instead, we got the Protection Against Violence Commission. And when you say the two next to each other, you realize that there is a profound difference in thinking and approach to this issue of pervasive sexual violence and violence in the country. First of all, Protection Against Violence Commission speaks to how the state is going to respond to the problem, and Gender-Based Violence Commission or Act speaks to how the state, how we recognize the problem, the root of the problem, right? So if you're not prepared to get at the root of the problem, why are you prepared to continue to throw money year after year after year at the problem? Protection Against Violence versus Gender-Based Violence Acts, right? Because all you're going to do is end up throwing more and more money after a problem you refuse, you cannot solve because you refuse to acknowledge the root of the issue. Let's just read from the article quickly. The government of the Bahamas has officially appointed the Protection Against Violence Commission with appointments effective February 1st, 2026, marking a defining step in operationalizing the Protection Against Violence Act 2023. There you go. So, now that the commission is operationalized, I didn't read deep enough to see if it is actually operationalized or if they're just saying that. But this is the mechanism, right, that we should expect policy programs to come out of that will address the violence that young people are experiencing in these school settings. Now, there was breaking news as we switched over shows and go to the Nassau media sites. I could find the articles, two articles released shortly, a little while ago. The first is the government's $357 million reimbursement claim against the Grand Bahama Port Authority has been dismissed, according to the GBPA. According to the GBPA. So on the Nassau Guardian's, the official Nassau Guardian Facebook page, you can find that press statement from the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And then the second, an article from the Nassau Guardian. I am pulling that article right up right now. Tribunal rejects government's $357 million claim. We're going to read from that article. The tribunal has dismissed the Davis administration's claim that the Grand Bahama Port Authority owes the public purse $357 million in reimbursements for certain activities and works carried out in Freeport. In its conclusion, the tribunal also awarded the GBPA's counterclaim against the government in respect to delays in approving to make submissions related to damages. Quote, the parties should try and agree in identifying the outstanding issues, including damages and costs, and a procedure, including a timetable for determining those issues, and should report back to the tribunal by March 6th, 2026. Today is March 3rd, 2026. But if you look at the headline, the Guardian says, quote, we are not alarmed by numbers, PLP math. So, that's 2.5 days, people. That's regular math. 2.5 days. PLP math, that could be 3 months. Who knows? I don't know. Let's go to the phone line, producer, and then we'll continue reading from the article. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, Miss Green. Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
Seems like the striving company we had, they get rich and stop striving.
Boy, look here. You just read my mind, eh? You live in Fox Hill?
I don't know.
Let me tell you why. Because this weekend, right, I was driving east on the Eastern Road, and I passed one of those houses on the southern side of the road. And I say, what type of party this is? All I could see was this big banner say Bahamas Striping Group of Companies.
And they ain't striping no more. That's why I get the truck. They contributed to some of this traffic issue you get there, striping.
Listen, do you remember the
road, no lines in the road.
Do you remember the self-starter grant? Do you remember when Otario Mitchell received the self-starter grant? I think it's like a $5,000 grant. And he was the first, or he was one of the first grantees and people whose business was highlighted, right, by the program on local media. And I just want to say, I don't like feeling like I've been scammed. I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling like I've been scammed. And I got to, it's my feelings. I have to work on my feelings, right? But I feel like I've been scammed. Because you went from self-starter grant, said, well, my uncle actually have this business, a business like this, right? So I could, to a group of companies, right? And none of the groups within the group of companies could strike the road?
Damn, Stephen. Stop saying that, Rich, and stop, Stephen. But Miss Grant.
Yes.
Okay, tell me something. I'm sure you're honoring your father, right?
Yes.
All right, so tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think the Chinese honor their fathers?
Yeah, they honor their ancestors.
Everybody just honor their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so tell me now, why are we running from a union in the Caribbean? We all on our fathers, so don't expect me as somebody who migrate here to honor, you know what I mean, the Bahama and dishonor their fathers. And so if you honor your father, right?
Mm-hmm.
You honor your family too. So if you're in position to help your family, and you can do it, or you can dishonor them.
I don't think. Okay, so if I'm in a position to help my family, I will help them, but if helping them requires me to break the law, then I'm dishonoring them.
No, but you make the law. You can make the law to help your family.
You ain't
breaking the law.
It don't work like that. The leader alone doesn't make the laws. Don't mind what Article 73, 1A of the Constitution says. The leader alone don't make the laws.
So how when you know there's a place in New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jews, right? Like they come in the community,
mm-hmm.
right? And they become the legislators in the community. You know what they do? They don't fund the public schools, and what they do, the public schools sell out to them.
Private.
All Jew schools. Private schools. You understand what I'm saying? They have the same two people.
So listen,
something like that. You know what they do?
Hold on, we started off with such a wonderful, interesting conversation. But what a savvy way to insert some xenophobia. There's xenophobia, man. Right? And there's some... I don't like it. We were getting off good advice. I wanted to see where you were going. Right? Now, talk about the ways in which, right, religious communities are ignoring civil law and trying to force their religious law, which they can call cultural, their religious law on people. And we could talk about that, right? Because I find that very interesting space. Like in the Bahamas, where for a very long time, you know, there was no actual, like, explicit provisions. There were no actual explicit provisions preventing same-sex marriage, and they relied on a construction of provisions to say that it must be unauthorized and illegal because religion. Because, like, in this country, the vast majority of us do not realize that we are not a theocracy. We are not a religious state. But when it is appropriate or expedient, politicians will pretend like we are so that they could garner social and political credit. And then we create this murky area where the church gets to try and convince us that the laws are the way they are because of God. Well, let's go to the next caller. Thank you, producer. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I missed you, caller. Let's go to the text line. Erin, I don't understand why women can't be satisfied with all these bills. Cheaper y'all pass a bill making y'all priority above men, animals, and anything else as at this point. Wow. Why women can't be satisfied with all these bills. I don't know. That may be the most foolish thing I've heard all day. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Ms. Green, listen to this. It really hurts you sometimes when you see what's going on in this country, whether you're PLP, FNM, UBB, DNA, COI. The amount of different catastrophes that are going on, not only the traffic thing that you talk about every day. Ms. Green, I live in an area called Pride Estate, number one. There's Pride Estate 1, 2, and 3. Pride Estate number 1 is off the Nick Allen Highway. It's a part of the constituency of Garden Hills. But every time you hear them talk about Garden Hills, there's any Garden Hills 1 and 2, but they don't mention Pride Estate. Now, Ms. Green, you'll have to have pride to live in Pride, the way the people down in this government subdivision treat their area. You could tell the people love living down here. But behind my house, on the southern side of my house, on the road on the side, there's a pond called Harold Pond.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Sparky's Lake now, because, you know, everything, the big jujus and all the different fruits, I always tell you that I grow in my yard, that I give away to neighbors and friends, including prime ministers and ministers, come here every year to get these big jujus. But there's a park called Pride Estate Park that I maintain and I clean. Around the park, Ms. Green, what I'm attempting to do is every 10 feet plant a fruit tree. So in the future, in season, they could take a partake of, the children in the future could take, and the residents of Pride Estate could go and get a mango or a breadfruit, a dilly, a gooseberry, whatever we grew up eating, all those different fruits. I plan to put one every 10 foot around the park. On the park, you know, these entrances to the park, you got those big monuments saying that's Eastwood or that's Westwood or that's this park or Yellow Elba. The park that we have, there's a monument, but it was just left blank. It looked like it was built by BPL to hook up in the back of it some electrical stuff. But on the front of the park, I designed the Bahamian flag on the black triangle of the Bahamian flag. I inserted the coat of arms. The green, the aqua, and gold, and pink. I have the writings, Pride Estate East and West, which encompasses Pride Estate 1, 2, and 3. When you turn on top of that, I put 2 solar lights that it lights up at night.
Mm-hmm.
It is 88 inches wide and 54 inches high. I went to the sign man and I went to different places. And I paid over $1,000 to get it done. Everybody loves it. Now the park is okay. But now around the park and the pond, there's this bunch of bush.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this, Miss Green. It's grown up where the bush is on the lamp pole wires.
Yep.
It hung around the lamp poles.
I got you.
But Miss Green, don't cut me yet. It is belonged to the Bahamas National Trust by the government. They said that is theirs. Now I've spoken to them even up to yesterday. Please come and clean these things because we cannot even see the lake anymore, the pond.
I got you.
BPL came down here one time and they moved the bush from at least around the wires and maybe midway round the poles. BPL
mm-hmm.
came down here. I called Bahamas National Trust. They told me, don't touch it. It belongs to them. They will come and take care of it, take the invasive bushes out and everything like that. They came down here with a school group one day, and they just mowed the verge, you know, the green grass on the,
mm-hmm.
the edge of the road.
All right.
Yesterday, Miss Green, I said like this. There's a candidate planning to run for the Gardeners area. Bought a tractor, bought a group of people down here yesterday. Says, Sparky, we come to clean this up. The other candidate don't even come around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the Bahamas National Trust, I called them and I said, the people out here are ready to clean it up and wake. the people, a group of people down there with a tractor.
Yeah.
Okay?
Did they endorse it?
Tell them, don't touch it.
There you go. Is it still it's still overgrown?
That's good. If you come down here, you wouldn't even know that that's Harold Porn is behind the bush.
I got you.
The old harbor, when I first moved down here in 2006, the first resident private state, I could have walked out to the edge of the lake, start up in there, look at the birds and the ducks and the everything.
Oh, why
now
is it
I
now?
I can't even see the lake.
I got you. Listen, Sparky, thank you very much. You did the investigation. You know, you identified the entities responsible. And now it's on the National Trust because it's a security issue for people in the community. It's a public health and safety issue for people in the community, right? We're trying to bring down mosquito vector, right? Like we're trying to reduce mosquitoes, not create more environments for them to breed. Caller, as we go to the next caller, and thank you and congratulations for the work that you've done for your community on their behalf. Good morning, caller.
Very good, Sparkatone. Good morning, Miss Green.
Morning, how you do?
Thank God for life. As
mm-hmm.
usual.
Blessings.
Miss Green, I can let you get back to the story with the Port Authority because we won't hear it. But mm-hmm. yesterday on the news, listening to the radio or listening to the TV,
mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister saying that he can hold his tongue and they cannot, the courts say they cannot talk about it or whatever. He didn't sound too happy. I don't know how it looked to y'all who could see, but me who blind. He didn't sound too happy. I feel like if it was a happy story, maybe he would give us a little bit more. But he make it sound like the court say they couldn't talk about it. Now you go in and read a breaking story, breaking news, where the Port Authority telling us. So I wonder if it's a fine or...
For what?
The Prime Minister didn't tell us.
What do you mean? If they could fine him for not telling us? I wish we could.
He find someone, because he tell us, the Prime Minister, the leader of this country, tell us he can't talk about it, something what is our business. He's just representing us as the government.
Papa, and you married?
I divorced now.
Okay, this is a perfect question. That's what marriage is like? Is that what marriage is like?
He was talking the truth to us when he tell us he couldn't talk about it, right?
I don't know.
Because you're reading a story with the Port Authority talking about it, and I can't wait for you to get back to the
story. Yeah, let me get back to it, because that's something, mate.
Because you're saying on the 6th, the court saying
they got to come back with a plan. So the court say, listen, y'all got until the 6th to talk this out. See if y'all could make something work.
Because the court saying it ain't make no sense what they bring to them.
Well, I don't know about that part. We got to get deep in the article to see that.
You know what I mm-hmm. feel, Ms. Green?
Yeah.
You know what I thought I was going to say? You know what I feel scam about? Like how you say you feel scam?
Yeah.
I feel scam with these. And I know this ain't just start with this government, right?
Yeah.
But particularly now in this government, these what you call private partner public...
PPPs. Yeah.
I feel scam with that because you know why I feel scam? Because there ain't enough information to know what we got to pay back. We ain't sure who really doing it. Who's the owners of these companies?
Because we wouldn't pass the Beneficial Owners Act. Yeah,
that's
go
the reason
on.
Why?
Well, no, I'm saying that would have been a mechanism, I imagine, I speculate, I presume, which would have caused, right, the government to cause the entities to reveal who all of the people in an ownership position are.
How much interest we got to pay back, we don't really know that. And, mm-hmm. and the deal with BPL, they say in the business plan, all that information they gave us the other day with them files,
yeah.
the business planning and it, we don't know who really behind these companies or what the deal is. It's so sad. But the Prime Minister say he can hold his tongue, you know, he say he can hold his tongue. And about it, but he didn't sound happy. How you did look on TV? I gang up and listen. Thanks.
Listen, I didn't look at him on TV, but I wasn't sure. Like you say, I wasn't sure why he wasn't happy. Because for me, like they just be unhappy when you try ask them question. You just try and ask them a question and they unhappy. Why y'all want to know so much? Y'all don't listen, eh? You couldn't find it online, eh? No, we couldn't find it online. Can't find anything online. Can't find anything of sense online. I got 7 pages. We're going back to that article. I got 7 pages I put together following the articles, New Airport Terminal commissioned on Mayor Guaner, right? And I found these two acts. Modification of Provisions Act, Mayor Guaner Island Developers Limited, Act 2012, right? And then I found the second one. It's titled this way, Chapter 328D, right? The PDF... In the corner of the PDF, it say offshore banking. Modification of Provisions Act, Miguana Island Developers Limited. List of authorized pages 1 through 9, LRO 1/2017, right? So I found these two different documents online, right? And it says, in the interpretation section, agreement. Agreement means the heads of agreement dated the 7th day of March 2006 and made between the government of the Bahamas and the Miguana Island Developers Limited, as amended by the provisions of the amended and restated heads of agreement dated the 7th day of February 2012 and made between the government of the Bahamas Island Developers Limited. And I have this question, right? And the question is, does anybody, like, have, do you have the original agreement, the agreement that Modification of Provisions Act, Miguana Island Developers Limited amends? Anybody have that? And outside of, like, the website, because there's a website, right? Like, there's a website. But what exactly is Miguana Island Developers? Now, we know it's a public entity, right? We know it's a public entity because it forms part of the PPP, right, with Global Lead Consulting Limited. It forms part of that PPP, and Global Lead Consulting is the private part of the PPP. But what exactly is Miguana Island Developers, and what is the Miguana Island Development Fund? But more importantly, why is there, like, virtually no information available online? Website you cannot copy and paste from anymore. And I just want the people in the office of the Prime Minister to work in, like, the information communications, digital communication space. I just want you all to know that I support Labour and I appreciate the protest, but could you please let us copy and paste from the government website? Please, 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 please. Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ellen. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Quite well. One of the rules of media, right, is that if the information is not in there, you cannot make a decision on it.
Mm-hmm.
So more damage is done by the info that is being left out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, ironically, the Bible has a way of dealing with this.
Okay.
You go to the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and you look at what God did when those persons who claimed to be his people weren't doing as he asked them to do. So he brought pagan leaders to rule over them.
Since they wanted to be pagan?
No. He brought the pagans over them primarily because the pagans had a moral code.
Ah, okay.
Once the law was written, it couldn't be changed.
Okay.
And even the leaders had to adhere to it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like Darius and Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus.
I got you.
You know, see, they recognized what the law meant and the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they build their empires on adhering to a certain moral code.
Yeah.
But right now, some key church folk and some key political folk, they agree on some things that are not in the best interest of this country.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, you hardly have no response from the church if there's an issue.
I got you. Yeah, I understand.
You know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, thank you. Very interesting perspective. Very interesting. Man, y'all, some of these Bible studies is be hot, you know. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. C. Allen Johnston.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, I have a copy of that for you. I have to try to pull it out and scan it. I don't remember if I scanned it or not. The 2006
okay.
Information.
Thank you.
Because I was one of the few people that was presented here in Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. I think I was the only person in the room that called BS on it. And the fact that it would not amount to anything. And I can remember very specifically the people who was promoting the Yukon Bay or something like that, writing up and telling me that I'm being improper. I explained that my research at that time showed that there was insufficient funding in the marketplace for them to do what they say, and there was no direct plan. It was just misrepresentation of what was there. They were saying at the time that they were showing like little pictures on the screen, showing like as if you were. I think they took pictures in Haiti and confused it with marijuana for water and rent. This and that. But anyway, it's a long story that got us to the point where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And from then to now, we have never gotten clarity. I just want you to remember, 20 years of talking about this, and we have no clarity yet or any meaningful production. And even for the airport that was announced, you saw this beautiful, say, 3,000 square foot, but you only saw a small building and the rest wrapped in plastic, steel frame in the background again. But
hold on, there's more than this. Hold on. It's only one terminal? I saw the
hello?
Yeah, I pause you right there. The 3,200 square feet, just under 3,200 square feet terminal, right? Square foot terminal that is supposed to include, among other things, right? I wanted to read directly from the Prime Minister's statement, right? So there, it will include, right? And in fact, let me read it exactly as it's written. This new terminal has been fitted with a comfortable ticketing area, restrooms, dedicated airline offices, vendor spaces, and full operational capacity for airport security and police. Just under 3,200 square feet. What are they talking about?
No, he talked about proposed future, just like the
No, train. They said they've been fitted. It's been fitted. So, because here's my thing. I realize it could work, except the store, the vendor spaces, can't be open when the ticket agents have to be at the gate because the vendor spaces are the gate. And the police have to leave the vendor space so the ticket agents could get in there so that they could give the tickets. And then when they give out all the tickets, then the vendors go in there. And then when the vendors sell out, then the police go in there.
But don't forget, when the baggage reach, people have to move too.
Yeah.
But just let me say this on what you talk about, the youth.
Yeah, okay.
The problem is that we have a social problem that's been developing even before the drug era, basically simultaneously. But let's use an example, the issues we're talking about, the schools and the migrants and everything. We've never had a policy of cultural inclusion, and so we have allowed a simultaneous culture to develop, whether it be a hybrid or whatever. And so for the fact that we have failed to have strong migration policies, not just immigration or illegal, migration policies that define who we want to be, how it's going to be, and how individuals would integrate into us rather than us integrating into them, we've had this quagmire that's developed. But we could fix this if we would actually talk about properly and in context of what it,
but
what
let me
it
tell you,
is, as opposed to how we feel.
Let me tell you why we're not going to talk about it, right? Because we're personally conflicted, complicit, compromise. When you started talking, like you right at that point, here's how I see it, though. I'm not discrediting what it is that you see or how you've explained it, right? Here's what I see. I see that the political class clings to everything non-Bahamian. They're ontologically white, they're ontologically American, they're ontologically British, they're ontologically global, right? They cling in to foreign, which leaves now Bahamians that are not a part of the political class looking for, right, identity. What does Bahamian culture become? See, because it's what we practice, what we do collectively, but we could only do, like, all of our national events, commemorative events, like all of our national celebrations are co-opted by the administration of the day. Everything is taken over and becomes political, right? So for those people who reject that culture, you cannot celebrate Bahamianness without some political partisan, political interference, leaking, tainting. what does that leave them with, right? For those who don't like American culture, because that's the media that they consume, what becomes, what's the next dominant culture in the country? Bahamian, American, then it's Haitian. Right? And that's why I say that we complicit. We compromise ourselves. We don't want to be Bahamian, not really. But we mad that other people want to? Producer, let's go to the phone line. Quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds. I know I give the other people more time, but we out of time. Good morning.
We didn't learn from Ed Mox. Okay?
Yeah.
And he started that thing in the Grove,
mm-hmm.
and it got too big. The politicians closed him down, and they moved it on the next side of Lowell Road, and then they bulldozed it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we need to have an idea of what it means to be a collective group of Bahamians in this country. That's all.
I got you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. All right, so we got like 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left in the show. Tomorrow, we're going to delve into this breaking news when we have more information. More information is going to pour out. We could delve into it. I want to get back into this Mayor Gwona discussion. This is just fascinating. The things you see and the things you expect to see, but don't see. That's the break, producer. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys. We got to go to the break. Stay tuned. We're going to end the show after the break.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock. Listen, I get 60 seconds max to end the show. So you heard in that. So I'm reading here. The Prime Minister says he is going to talk to us when he opens the debate on the mid-year budget, right? Tomorrow. That's in the article. We are not alarmed by numbers. Davis defends fiscal record as arrears double. It's one thing. We all know y'all are not alarmed by numbers, even when the numbers are alarming. Y'all don't care. It doesn't appear so. It could not appear so. It just could not appear so. Also, at some point in the next couple of weeks, I would like to continue a conversation about the validity of confidential awards, right? Like, if the court makes a ruling, in what instance can the ruling be confidential? Are there parts or pieces of the ruling that can remain confidential? I am not sure where this concept of releasing, paying out government money without telling the people of the country who the money is being paid to and how much money is being paid and exactly why the money is being paid and who is responsible for the environment or the circumstances in which the money has to be paid. I didn't think there would be anything more jokey than PLP math. And then I heard Marco Rubio. So PLP math, I see y'all working at it. Y'all trying to be at the top. You guys, we're all out of time. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.